With over 30 years of combined experience in custom caravan manufacturing, Atlantic Caravan's mission is to create a community of like-minded souls who want to explore Australia in unbeatable comfort. Thanks to the latest technology, outstanding interior design, and a high-quality finish, enjoying the great outdoors in an Atlantic Caravan is a five-star experience. If you are looking to explore Australia in class, do not go past their high-quality, innovative, contemporary-built caravans. Check out their Endeavour, New Generation, High Terrain or E-Series models online at www.atlanticcaravans.com.au or call them on 03 9357 6971 or email them at info@atlanticcaravans.com.au.
Preston, market those. Speak on the left. Tries it from 40 metres. Oh, what a goal! From this young dynamo. Near post, Zinni! It's in! And again, Warren Spink has a hand in it. Andrew Zinni scores the goal. Not only are the fans winning on the terraces, the team are winning on the pitch. 2 goals in 2 minutes. 2-1 up, Preston Macedonia, and we've got an invasion on.
Roodhouse has made a good run from deep. Still Roodhouse getting that one across. Markovski! That's got to be the settler, surely.
One day we'll be back. One day we'll be back.
And the shot! What a goal! Oh, my Lord, what a finish there! Absolutely brilliant stuff!
Through ball for Spink. He's in the box. Back for Cole. Cole square. Here's a chance for Smith. Smith, yes, it's there. Spink, Cole, Smith. Smith doing the damage. 1-0.
It's Thursday night here at the F&R Studios, and you know what that means. Preston Lions fans, it's time to come into the Lions Den and chat all things Macedonia for the next hour. Josh Parrish alongside Chris Terpos this evening, David Svetkovsky tucked up on the couch in his PJs. I'm sure we'll provide commentary in the Facebook Live throughout the program, but great to have you back with us, Chris.
Thank you, Josh. Lovely to be here again, mate, after a couple of weeks off. And yeah, Dave, if you are listening, we'd love you to send us a photo, mate, of you on the couch with the PJs on. That'll be good.
Be excellent social content for our FNR Twitter feed. But let's get into the women's review first. We've got a huge show coming up, of course. Sam Mason-Smith, men's team striker, and a legend of the VPL days, John Angelovski, who absolutely bleeds and breathes Preston, of course, coming up later on in the show. But we'll get through our news segments first. The women's game.
Yep. So the women's team, unfortunately, they suffered their second consecutive loss in the league this season on Friday night, going down 3-0 at home to Melbourne University. And they pretty much look like they'll be the team to beat this year in that league. They're sitting comfortably on top with 4 wins from 4 games and only 1 goal conceded. So Preston were pretty much straight on the back foot from the get-go on that game. They fell behind after about 15 seconds. So, you know, despite, you know, working really hard to get back into the game and showing plenty of endeavour and tenacity, they then conceded a penalty in the early stages of the second half to trail 2-0. And by all accounts, it was pretty tough going, try to break down a very well-organised and skillful Melbourne University side. And obviously, after trying to push a few more players forward to try and snag a goal back in those later stages of the second half, they eventually conceded a third goal 5 minutes from time. So that loss now drops the Lionesses back to 6th place on the ladder, but still only 2 points adrift of second spot. So
incredibly
by no means,
tight league table. It's unbelievable.
Yep. So only two points off second spot. So panic stations not yet. And I'm sure they'll come out breathing fire for tomorrow night's round 5 league game, which we'll speak about shortly. But interestingly enough, the girls have an opportunity to redeem themselves as redemption awaits in the quarterfinals of the Nike FC Cup, where they've drawn to play Melbourne Uni again. So that'll be that's actually going to be a midweek game, actually. It's going to be a home game for Preston now, as Melbourne Uni were the original home team for that fixture, but they unfortunately don't have a suitable venue for night games. So we're just waiting on the FFV to confirm that, but that match will most likely be played on Wednesday the 29th of May with a 7:30 p.m. kickoff at Preston. So just keep your eyes on the club Facebook page for those details as they're released. And yeah, you'd expect, you know, having had a good look at Melbourne Uni last week, they'll now go into that cup clash with the benefit of knowing what to expect from them this time around. And the women's coach Luca Finanzio informs me that the girls have they've worked really hard this week on a few different areas that that he'll be hoping to put into practice tomorrow night, as the girls will be playing in another Friday night blockbuster up against the Eltham Redbacks, who currently sit in second spot. So that game scheduled to kick off at 8:30 p.m. tomorrow night at Eltham North Reserve on the synthetic pitch up there. The reserve's obviously at 6:30 as well. So everybody make sure you get down there tomorrow night and support the Lionesses as they look to get their season back on track. And, you know, a win there and some other results going their way, they could find themselves back into second position on the ladder.
I know Eltham North Reserve very well, played there many times. Rug up if you're going to go watch.
Definitely.
For some reason, Eltham just seems, I don't know if it's a lower elevation or higher elevation or something, but it always seems like 3 or 4 degrees colder than the rest of the state. But it's a great place to watch a game of football. It's a great place to play a game of football, although, you know, you want to keep the ball on the deck there because it does bounce a little bit strangely
on the synthetic
pitch, particularly that one. It's a little bit hard, so hopefully the girls emerge with a more positive result from that one and no injuries as well, considering it is synthetic. I'm always a bit, you know, nervous. Always was playing on that field. But, yeah, live and learn. And obviously got a chance to redeem themselves in the cup, as you say, a rematch against Melbourne Uni have been setting the pace. So, you know, it gives Luca Finanzio and his team some things to think about and improve upon for the rest of the season.
Yep, definitely. Just some other news. Obviously, have our major raffle going on at the moment. So, just a reminder for those club members and supporters who have ticket books for the club's major raffle, that you can return them with the funds at any of the upcoming home games or training nights. Obviously, the sooner the better to get those in. But there's still about 8 weeks to go until the draw. So, plenty of time to get those tickets sold if you haven't already done so. Mm. And I think there might even be a few more raffle booklets left to hand out. So, if you haven't already picked one up, just ask one of the club officials at the game this Sunday, and I'm sure they'll be able to assist you with that. And Dave informs me that the big women's coterie luncheon, which is on this Sunday, has officially sold out, which is a fantastic result. It's going to be a full house on Sunday, the 19th of May, at the lovely Acacia Ridge Winery for what promises to be a sensational day out for all of the lovely ladies who are proud supporters of our club, and including many of the members of our women's team who will also be attending. So we look forward to having the ladies there on Sunday.
And after they released more tickets and chartered more buses, this thing is so popular.
Now that I think about it, I'm not sure how we're going to fit all their cars at BT Connor on Sunday. We've got our own game on there, so we'll see what happens there in the car park.
Yeah, absolutely.
stuff. Just a bit of a quick summary of a roundup for the juniors action from this past weekend. The boys under 12s Kangaroos lost 3-0 to Epping City. The boys under 12 Wallabies defeated Brunswick Zebras 20-0. So a bit of a lopsided affair there, but good on the boys for getting 20 goals in that game. An amazing effort. The boys under 13A had a 2-1 win against Faulkner. 14Bs lost 3-1 to Watsonia Heights. The boys 15As lost 4-1 to Bundura. And the 16Bs also lost 10-1 to Plenty Valley Lions. And the boys under 18As had a bye. So, just a quick roundup of the juniors there. And I think with that, Josh, we probably just take a quick break before we get our first guest in and review the men's game from Monday night.
Yes, just waiting patiently outside the studio is the towering frame of Mr. Sam Mason-Smith, who scored the opener for Preston on Monday night. A bit of disappointment late in the game, as I'm sure you're aware, if you went over to Whittlesea, but we'll get our teeth stuck into all of that before being joined by John Angelowski, Preston legend, coming into the studio to discuss his time with the team in the VPL days.
Genus Steel offer full-service structural steel to leading industrial and residential builders across all metropolitan Melbourne and regional areas of Victoria. At Genus Steel, we take pride in our product, service and reputation. With over 40 years industry experience, Genus Steel manages all aspects of steel fabrication from on-site measuring, in-house drafting, fabrication through to full site installation. We work closely with our customers to deliver innovative solutions to facilitate projects of any size. For further information, please contact genussteel.com.au or contact the company on 03 9465 1287.
Electrical Connectivity Australia is a leader in the electrical industry and specialises in matters of a domestic, commercial and industrial nature. Please contact Igor Georgievsky for any of your electrical needs on 03 9333 0433 or visit www.ecapl.com.
With over 30 years of combined experience in custom caravan manufacturing, Atlantic Caravan's mission is to create a community of like-minded souls who want to explore Australia in unbeatable comfort. Thanks to the latest technology, outstanding interior design and a high-quality finish, enjoying the great outdoors in an Atlantic Caravan is a five-star experience. If you are looking to explore Australia in class, do not go past their high-quality, innovative, contemporary-built caravans. Check out their Endeavour, New Generation, High Terrain or E-Series models online at www.atlanticcaravans.com.au or call them on 03 9357 6971 or email them at info@atlanticcaravans.com.au.
You're listening to The Lions Den on FNR Football Nation Radio.
Welcome back to the Preston Lions Club show here live on FNR Football Nation Radio with me, Josh Parrish, Chris Terpos, and our special guest in the studio tonight, Sam Mason-Smith, the men's team striker signed this season from Geelong Soccer Club. Sam, let's start with the game on Monday night. You scored the goal that looked like it might be enough, but a bit of late drama, a bit of Luis Suarez-esque effort on the line by Benny Levitikos. Didn't quite get away with it.
Yeah, that's right. No, he didn't get away with it, unfortunately, but it was a good effort. yeah, obviously I come on and got what I thought was going to be the winner. Unfortunately, it wasn't quite to be, but it was an average game from our point of view, but I think we have to take the positives. It was a point away from home against a well-organised Whittlesea side, so yeah, take the positives out of it.
Yeah, I mean, it was a bit of a scrappy game of football. They made it tough for you guys, a lot of physical pressure.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, obviously they had a game plan and stuff, and they executed it. You know, they was well up for the game, and we was a bit rattled at first, you know, but I think in the second half we managed to get a foothold in it and played a little bit, and when we took the goal, you know, it's just a matter of seeing it out, which unfortunately we didn't do, but we learned from that.
Did you think the referee was going to pay that penalty?
I don't think the ref knew what he was going to do, to be honest, but yeah.
From my point of view, I was behind the goals at the other end of the ground, so yeah. I didn't know what was going on, but the main referee obviously didn't see it. The linesman looked like he was shaking his head, so I think everyone thought he didn't see it. So it would have been interesting to see what their conversation was over on the touchline there.
Yeah, I mean, if the ref's unsure and the linesman's unsure, I'm not sure how they can give a decision if no one really knows the facts, you know. But I think they just sort of assumed and they took a gamble and gave it, you know. Yeah. Like it was one of them. It was frustrating.
Well, I mean, as we know, it was probably the right decision in the end. Based
on replay
the
review, which the referees don't have access to, although you would have been forgiven of thinking otherwise when the ref was making a VAR symbol with his hands. I'm not sure what was going on, but it's obviously filtered down the terminology and nomenclature from the VAR. But yeah, it's a gutting way to you know, lose 2 points. But you know, in the scope of this season, I mean, you know, some games we've seen the boys play unbelievable football, and then other times, you know, especially away from home, it's got a little bit scrappy at times. Can you put your finger on, you know, what's going on?
Not exactly, no. But obviously, like, I agree with you. At times, we've played some great stuff, you know, like and away from home, we're always, well, any team that's going to play Preston this year, they target us. You know, they want to get a result, they want to upset our rhythm. You know, we're unbeaten in the league at the end of the day. So if we'd have said that, we spoke about it on Wednesday night training. If you'd have said, you know, unbeaten at this stage of the season with a few wins and two draws, you know, then I think we would have took it, you know. So we build from there. So we just need to keep playing and focusing on ourselves and see where it leads us.
Yep. I think, as we've probably covered this in earlier shows, that Preston's always traditionally been a slow starter in the leagues for the past sort of decade. And, you know, we're off to a bit of a flyer this year, obviously on top, undefeated still. But I think, yeah, you're right, we haven't really hit our straps anywhere near what we want to this year. So I think, yeah, come that round 7, round 8, round 9 mark, I think that's when things are really going to start to happen, yeah.
Yeah, well, I was actually, I didn't know about how bad last year's start was, you know, and obviously from my time at Geelong, and then this year I learnt about that and how they didn't have, I think, a win for several weeks, yep. You know, it was a real struggle. But so it's a completely different situation that we find ourselves in now, you know, top of the ladder and stuff. So we just need to keep focused on ourselves, like I said, and hopefully we'll be there at the end of the season.
Yep. So let's talk a bit about you and your footballing background. I mean, I can hear the accent, obviously, from England, but also spent a lot of time in New Zealand. Tell us where it all began and take us through a little bit of your career so far.
Yeah, so I shan't go on too long, but obviously, yeah, grew up in England. And, you know, went through academy football there at Cambridge United mostly until I was about 16. Went to a conference side, Histon. And then after that, played local for 6-7 months or so. And then at 19 years old, I had this opportunity to go over to New Zealand out of all places. And I had a friend there and also a guy from my hometown who was an ex-pro there in England. And I took him up on the opportunity. And I said, yeah, like a change of lifestyle, a new challenge, so on. And I went to New Zealand and I just fell in love with the place, you know, like it's a place that although England's home, I went there. And for me, you know, I'd like to be this side of the world compared to England, you know, so I don't really miss home at all. And throughout there, you know, I spent a little time over in South Africa in a season professionally. And then after that, I found myself, you know, back here on Australia. So, yeah, I mean, that's as accurate as I can put it, really.
So what sort of level were you playing at in New Zealand, competition-wise?
They do things a bit differently there. They sort of got a winter league and a summer league. You play all year round. Okay. Winter's a bit more regional as such, so I lived in Wellington for my most part, and you sort of play there in just the Wellington region. And then when it comes to summer, they only have the one football league, which is the National League, sort of like the premiership of the country.
Yep.
And it's only like 10 teams at the moment. It's slowly starting to add more teams and stuff, you know, like franchises and that sort of stuff. But, yeah, and then I played. That's what I've been doing. But literally, apart from the time in South Africa, I've been going winter, summer for numerous years now. And there's not really much of a break. So, yeah, it's been full on football.
Yeah, wow. And, you know, you've played in Australia for which clubs?
Only Geelong last year for the second half of the season and now Preston, so...
Yeah, so what was it like coming over to State League One football with Geelong? Obviously, you know, in a promotion chase, a lot of high-stakes games.
Yeah, definitely. After South Africa, I just wanted to get back to this side of the world, you know. I really enjoy the lifestyle here and stuff. And, yeah, it was Geelong was, at my time, my only option. And I just wanted to be, you know, this side. So I took them up on it. And, obviously, I learned that they was part of a promotion and so on. And, yeah, I was living out there at Geelong and... you know, State League One, you know, there was a mix of, it's like it is now, some good teams and then some, you know, weaker teams and stuff. But I mean, the whole part of being in a title, you know, is just exciting, you know, a title chase, you know. And that game last year, as much as, you know, I'm not going to say anything else on it, but it was an unbelievable game, spectacle to be part of, you know. So hopefully we can, you know, do that in a Preston shirt this year.
Well, we do have to ask you about it, obviously. I mean, you know, I'm sure the fans were giving you pelters at the time, but it was quite the spectacular goal you scored at Jenner Steele Stadium. Take us through that one. And, you know, what was it like in the cauldron that it was with so many thousands of Preston fans turning up to break the home attendance record?
Yeah, it's one of them. As a striker, you just zone out. And, you know, the ball comes to you and I had a decent shot, I think, just before, and I thought... if I have a good touch here, I'm just going to have another effort. And, I mean, it flew into that top corner. And to be fair, you know, I just couldn't believe my luck. And it was just a case of staying calm. And, you know, as much as, yeah, like I said, that in terms of goals that I've scored and stuff, it's up there, definitely, you know. And the only thing is, I think there's a few people, I think Louis as well, is expecting me to pull one of them out every week, you know. So, yeah, I sort of set the standards a bit high, really, on that.
Well, what drew you to Preston then? Was it, you know, the atmosphere that day part of your decision to come over?
It was, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I learned a lot about, you know, the history of the club on that day. You know, like the fans and the spectacle, that game was just unbelievable. And if that was, obviously, it's still early stages in the season, but if we managed to get, you know, further in the season and closer to being promoted, then, you know, that's the sort of games you want to be part of. And I learned about the history of the club and where it used to be in the NSL and all those sorts of things. And yeah, just a very professional environment, and it was just something that, you know, I want to play at the highest level I can and take football pretty seriously, and it seemed that Preston at fits that bill.
Is it probably the biggest crowd you've played in front of in Australia and New Zealand the last few years?
Yeah, definitely. Yep. In Australia and New Zealand, yeah. Yeah. yeah, only one other time I could think of a bigger crowd, and it wasn't here. That was in Africa. So, yeah, and just, like I said, that atmosphere that day was unbelievable.
Easily the biggest crowd we've had since 2007, I reckon, our last championship here in the Victorian Premier League. So it was an amazing day, and he's hoping we can repeat those sort of crowd attendances later on this season.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, we've got a few people coming through on the Facebook Live. Joey Giacomasso is pleading for a shout-out, so there you go. But I'm very keen. Tell us a little bit about the dynamic in the squad. I know you're living at the pad, the bachelor's pad.
It's been labelled the pad, yeah.
Go on. Who are your housemates? Reece Saunders?
Yeah, Reece Saunders, Dom and Lockie.
Right, so a few big characters in a few different characters in that house.
Yeah, well, we're all big apart from Lockie, I got thrown in there, and obviously I didn't know the boys when I first turned up. You know, I played against Reece and Lockie last year, and Dom was new himself, and it's been a couple of months now, and you know, we're all settled. You know, we're all pretty close. We spend a lot of time together. There in the living room, there's a lot of FIFA, there's a lot of banter thrown around, and you know, I don't need to name names, who's best and worst. People know who that is. Lucky. It's a good laugh. It's good fun.
So is it, I'm envisioning, like, you know, uni student digs with dishes piling up left, right and centre. Is it, you know?
Reece. That's all I have to say. Dishes. Reece Saunders.
So, you know, it's a bit of a dorm room vibe.
Yeah, it is. You know, like there's a few strange sleeping patterns and stuff. I don't want to go into too much detail, but we all have our times where we keep to ourselves and stuff. And like I said, we all try and take football seriously. Well, we do take football seriously. So you know, try and lead a lifestyle that helps us do that. And it's been good.
So what is it like coming into the squad now? I mean, obviously, you know, with Louis Yasevsky, there's no superstar treatment. No one really is. Everyone's on a level playing field, and you really have to earn your spot in the team. Mm.
Oh, definitely, yeah. I've learnt that. You know, I come in late, so I wasn't expecting just to walk in the side. But I had a good season in New Zealand, and I wanted to hit the ground running. But the competition for places at this club is very high. You know, so and it keeps things exciting. It keeps the standards high. So in training, the sessions are very intense. And, obviously I managed to get a couple of starts after waiting, you know, being patient and, hopefully starting the next game, you know, come on and got a goal, but put my name forward to be in the hat. But at the end of the day, you know, if the gaffer says you're on the bench, you're on the bench, you know, you get on with it, you know, you just wait your time, wait your turn and see what you can do when you're on the pitch.
Actually noticed Jacob Fullock scored another two goals in the reserves on Monday night, so he's going to be putting his hand up as well.
There you go, he's banging on the door, you know. He scored another, I mean, he scored eight once for the reserves, didn't he?
And
you can't do much more than that. But, so that's what I'm saying, he's a striker as well. There's a few of us, and we all want to be on that starting, you know, team sheet at the end of the day. So
I've got a little bit of intel here, as I usually do, from Mr. Svetkovsky. He says that you hosted your New Zealand club's TV show at one point.
Yeah.
Well, tell me about that. Which club was it? What was this series?
Can we watch it somewhere?
Is it available online?
Yeah, somewhere.
Right, hidden, we'll get that link.
I did. So for my last club in New Zealand, Hawke's Bay United, and sort of similar thing. We was doing a similar sort of thing to this. Mm. We had the operations manager, and he was going to host a show, and we had the players go on. I ended up sitting in the seat that the host was sitting in as I turned up. And I just thought, I'm just going to sit anywhere. And next thing you know, he stitched me up, rolled me under the bus and said, SMS, why don't you host this show? And I'm like, you're joking. And then next thing you know, he said, nah, that'd be a good laugh. We'll get good viewings and that. I think we had like 11 or so like viewings. But it was a good laugh, and it went on a bit. And to be fair, a lot of people actually did get behind it as good banter and stuff. But I think that's the end of my hosting career.
Well, you say that, but, you know, we have a wonderful platform here at FNR, and, you know, so often, you know, it's a strain for DC and Mr. Turpos over here to schlep down to Docklands each and every Thursday.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you want to sit in a host's chair at some point, I mean, you're more than welcome to.
All right, make me an offer and I'll see you.
All right, our people will talk to your people.
Typical soccer player.
Well, there is something we didn't talk about in the introduction, now, Chris. The transfer window.
Yes, the mid-season NPL registration period has opened up this week or last week.
Mm-hmm. Can't remember. I think exactly it's this week.
Yeah. This week. Yep. So likely to see a fair bit of movement in the upper leagues in Victoria. Yes,
we've a lot of seen sides will be one to... high-profile former South Melbourne player go to a State League One club that we won't name on this program.
Righty-o. I'll have to make myself aware of who that is. So, yeah, obviously a lot of sides will be looking to strengthen their squads. Yep, no, there's already been talk of a few big moves in NPL, with Dandenong City being linked to a few players like Carl Valeri, Brenton Sanderlab, and Adrian Layer, even mentioned in that same breath as well. So
Eugene Galekovic as well has been mooted for them. So they're very ambitious, and that means there will be flow-on effects.
Most definitely. So the key thing for teams in the state league, such as Preston, is that there's likely to be quite a few former NPL players looking for new clubs because they just can't squeeze into an NPL setup with that. With such a short period of the transfer window, so yeah, it'll be interesting to see if Lou's got his eyes on anyone to bring in some reinforcements.
Well, we not any strike.
Well, we know he does have connections up certainly at those levels.
Certainly does.
Obviously, former coach of Hume City and NPL, and knows everyone in Victorian football. It seems he's got a speed dial. So. Yeah, I would be surprised if there weren't, a few names floated for Preston. Yep. Dandy City, I don't want to be critical, but, signing these 35-year-old blokes when there's a 22-year-old who scored a hat-trick against you in the FFA Cup, I mean...
Yep.
Well, we won't mention that. So, yeah. Don't want him coming after Arce. But, yeah, could be interesting times. And as you said, you arrived mid-season for Geelong last season and gave them a huge boost in their promotion push. So it could be some new blood coming through the door at Jenna Steele Stadium before long.
I was going to ask you, Sam, what's been the biggest difference in the setup between your experience at Geelong last year and Preston this year? So maybe from the football side, training side, that sort of thing?
Well, obviously we're in State League One and we're training, quite often, we're training frequently, and I'm sure Geelong now they're in the NPL, NPL 2. They've gone up a notch, I think, maybe professionally. But, for obviously at the same level from my time there and here, I enjoyed my time there, but I'm focused here, and the stuff that goes on here, behind the scenes as well and on the training pitch and everywhere else, it's of a high level, we got a lot of members of staff, and they give us a lot of good advice and they lead us through good sessions. So, the facilities are excellent. The changing room's fantastic. It's second to none, really, especially for State League One, and that's where they're aiming to be, higher than what they are, So all of that sort of should fit into place and they can get themselves ready for that next step.
Yep.
Have you ever been in a club where the fans pile into the change rooms after a win? Is that unique?
Never. It's unbelievable. Obviously, you get that. Yeah. You get to share that experience with the fans one-on-one.
It's a pity we couldn't do it at North Sunshine the other week.
Wow.
Yeah, we managed to sing the song on the other side.
Oh, but, the fans, it was good enough.
Yeah, that was still a good effort. And it was, the fans are excellent here. So, yeah, keep piling in the changing room. And, it's pretty exciting to be part of.
Well, SMS, I think we'll leave it there, but I'm not going to throw to the break. I mean, you're the TV host.
Josh, before we go, though, we might just mention this upcoming week's game.
Oh, yes, of course.
So we're coming up against Caroline Springs or the old Sunshine George Cross, and they're a team we haven't played in about 10 years, I think. So I think we can expect a good crowd. The Georgies fans were known for coming along to BT Connor Reserve back in the day, so I think we should get a fairly decent crowd there on Sunday. So 3 p.m. kickoff at Jenna Steele Stadium and the reserves at 12:30. But you obviously only had the one session so far this week. With the Monday night game, what was the focus on Wednesday night, sort of leading into the Caroline Springs game from Lou and Kappa?
So we spoke about obviously the game on Monday, reflected on that, and then we had probably more of a recovery session to get ourselves ready for the weekend. Training tomorrow night will be a bigger session, and we'll go through numerous things to get us ready to prepare for the big game on Sunday. So it's good to be back at BT Connor Reserve and. Back with the home fans, and hopefully we can 3 points in the bag, you know, a home game. That's what the crowd expect, and that's what we expect as players, you know. Yeah. So we'll prepare as best we can, and we'll be as ready and raring to go as we can possibly be.
Good stuff.
Well, SMS, tell the listeners what they're listening to, and tell us what's coming up after the break then.
I'm stitching him up here.
John Angelovski is up after the break here on the Lions Den. Thank you very much, SMS, for joining us.
With over 30 years of combined experience in custom caravan manufacturing, Atlantic Caravan's mission is to create a community of like-minded souls who want to explore Australia in unbeatable comfort. Thanks to the latest technology, outstanding interior design, and a high-quality finish, enjoying the great outdoors in an Atlantic caravan is a 5-star experience. If you are looking to explore Australia in class, do not go past their high-quality, innovative, contemporary-built caravans. Check out their Endeavour, New Generation, High Terrain or E-Series models online at www.atlanticcaravans.com.au or call them on 03 9357 6971 or email them at info@atlanticcaravans.com.au.
Electrical Connectivity Australia is a leader in the electrical industry and specialises in matters of a domestic, commercial and industrial nature. Please contact Igor Georgievsky for any of your electrical needs on 03 9333 0433 or visit www.ecapl.com.
Genus Steel offer full-service structural steel to leading industrial and residential builders across all metropolitan Melbourne and regional areas of Victoria. At Genus Steel, we take pride in our product, service and reputation. With over 40 years industry experience, Genus Steel manages all aspects of steel fabrication from on-site measuring, in-house drafting, fabrication through to full site installation. We work closely with our customers to deliver innovative solutions to facilitate projects of any size. For further information, please contact genussteel.com.au or contact the company on 03 9465 1287.
MS Designer Living specialise in architectural design and construction of new homes, unit developments, extensions, renovations and commercial buildings. They are located at 14 to 19 Enterprise Drive, Bundoora and can be contacted on 03 9467 6954. MS Designer Living.
You're listening to The Lions Den on FNR Football Nation Radio.
Yes, this is the official Preston Lions Club show coming to you live from the FNR studios with Josh Parrish and Chris Terpos. And now on The Lions Den, we're joined in our past player segment by a man who absolutely bleeds red and black. He played his juniors at Preston. His dad was involved with Preston as well. And of course, he played in the VPL era as well. John Angelovski, thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It's brilliant to have you along with us. Tell us about your first memory of the Preston Lions.
Oh, probably two stages, actually. But first and foremost, as a junior, but growing up within the club, and Dad was involved for a fair few years, going to training and on the outside pitches as a junior, and then coming back in around 7:30 and just watching the seniors play, and probably in all those players that of a weekend they'll be playing in the National Soccer League, and just sitting there watching those seniors play as a kid and growing up around the club was probably one of the better memories I've got of the club. Yeah.
What were the sights, the sounds, the smells? What do you recall from that era? I'm sure you were, you know, almost.
Yeah, the ointment and the Denko rub.
That's right. Yeah.
I don't know if the kids these days have the Denko rub, yeah, and all that type of stuff. But the club rooms are pretty run down in those days as well. So there's a couple of weird smells coming from those club rooms. But
I was more thinking the smell of the kebabi or whatever.
Oh yeah, that's never changed. Actually, I've heard they've got a lot better. I haven't been out of the club for a year or two now, but I'm hearing only good things about the kebabchi rolls. Yeah, definitely.
So, tell us, obviously, yeah, going to training, and obviously played as a junior for what, about 6 years, from under nines through to under 15s?
I did, yeah. Under nines, I actually started at Meadow Park, and then Dad, pretty passionate about the club and got involved with the club. I was elected in as, I think, secretary at the time, and did a bit of work as a team manager. But across I went, me and my brother, and I started under nines right through to under 15s. So it was a pretty successful era, actually. We were part of the Super League, so we had a... And Nick Kukulewski was been part of that team. And all I know about Nick, he was one of the past players and scored a couple of cracker goals in the old VPL days. And we had a very successful team. So it was a good bunch of guys. But, yeah, up until about 15 or so and under 15s. And then, yeah, next phase of my career when I left Preston.
So your dad was a former player and, of course, a committee member, secretary and so forth. Did he instill that love of the club in you from an early age, or was it more sort of organic?
It was organic. Dad never really pushed me into anything, to be honest. And I've just probably followed along. He's a pretty humble man. So he loves the club. His heart's all he beats Preston. He's probably phased out the last probably 10 odd years and allowed the next phase of people to sort of come into the club. But the passion definitely come from within from him. Mm. And you just go along for the journey with that club. It's a waking beast now. It's with Preston, and it's slowly growing momentum now. But and I was just saying to the other player that just was with us previously, just go along for the journey, because big club, a lot of supporters, and you'll definitely find that connection very shortly.
Tell us about some of those stories in the change room as a young kid when got these NSL players around you, and I think you've even got a couple of stories of. Bill Murray getting a few of the young boys to do a few jobs in the change room?
Yeah, well, we'd finish training, 7:30, and we'd come back around and catch a few balls and the like, and we were sitting around, plotting around, and I remember Billy Pikulowski came in, he had a bit of a hamstring strain, and before you know it, was a 12 or 13-year-old, you're putting ice on onto Billy's hamstring, and you're sitting there, and the doctor was saying, just do this and do that, and we'd do it, and which is pretty surreal, actually, and then watching those players play on TV, if they're playing to state over the weekend, it was pretty cool, So,
yep, ball boys, medical assistants,
all that, food, all, clean that boots. All that above, yeah, definitely anything we could do.
So, you came to the attention of a certain Ron Smith at a pretty early age.
I did. I was fortunate enough to, while being part of the Preston sort of development program, high profile club through the Super League, that was a good stepping stone. So, played with Victorian teams from under 12 to under 14s and under 15 national championships. Ron Smith and Steve O'Connor back in the days were the Australian sport coaches. And I was sort of scouting, and I was lucky enough to be offered a scholarship on the off chance to go to Canberra for a few years.
Who were some of the budding young superstars that you rubbed shoulders with at the AIS?
Yeah, that was so I got in at 1992. Mm-hmm. There's four players from Victoria, Josip Skoko, myself, who else? We have Robbie Ennis, who was a past Preston player as well, and a lanky lad by the name of Mark Viduka. So off we went. We got on a plane and just turned up in Canberra, which is pretty surreal as a 15-year-old. And I can remember the first training, there was another bloke that was slotting a few balls away and worked out pretty quickly. His name was John Aloisi. And probably the second or third week in, I considered myself a bit of a rough lad. Didn't mind getting stuck in. I was a short guy, but didn't mind getting stuck in, and got cleaned up by a big skinny lad from Brisbane, and his name was Craig Moore. So I worked out pretty quickly where my place was. These guys were coming through the ranks, and obviously they've gone on to have amazing careers and the like, but we had a good team. We probably had one of the better teams at the AIS for 92 and 93, and there's another player actually from Victoria who also played for Preston, Vasco Trepcevski. What a player he was, and I was fortunate enough to play side by side with him, because I was playing left back and he'd play left midfield, and it's actually where my nickname comes from. My nickname's Nushy. Not many people actually name me as John. My dad's Nushy.
That's where it's come from.
Everyone knows. Yeah, so you say Nushy. So that's where it actually has come from, and there's not many people that actually call me John, other than even my dad doesn't call me.
He does,
God's sake, But I was lucky enough to play with some pretty pretty good players, and. And I got some amazing stories in terms of my experience at the AIS, and I'd love to share them all. I might have a couple, but but in the third year, because I went to Canberra and I was in year 10 and year 11, I couldn't actually come back and back into the VCU system. I went to Essendon Grammar, so it was pretty difficult for me to step back. So I went and saw Ron Smith and I said, well, what do I do? Because all those other players would subsequently leave. Mark would go back to Melbourne Knights or Melbourne Croatia in those days. Mark Rudin would go to Sydney United and Clint Bolton would go back to Brisbane Strikers and I was supposed to go back to Preston, but I couldn't because of my schooling. So I stayed an extra year. Ron just said, well, just stay another year. So little known fact, I'm actually the longest serving member at the AIS, which I don't know what that actually means. It doesn't mean too much other than 3 years of good training. But a guy from Newcastle, a pretty free spirit called Lucas Neal. So, because I was the oldest, I was actually the captain of the team in '94, and Lucas was a bit of a troublemaker, and we settled him in a bit, but we could work out pretty quickly. He just had natural flair, and he just needed to be controlled. So we had some pretty cool players come through in those through 3 odd years, and that was the experience. But one story I will tell you is, and I do share it often, like with Mark. You sort of grow up with those players through the Victorian teams, and Mark was pretty passionate about his football, like most, even Josip Skoko was. But Mark was a perfectionist, and we wouldn't share rooms. My room was beside Mark's, and we'd play a game on a Saturday night, and most of the boys would put their feet up. Some might go out on the town if they could sneak out before the cameras would go on. I was a 15 or 16-year-old, and I'd obviously stay home, either studying or doing whatever I was doing. And I'd hear a ball just get knocked against the wall, and I thought, geez, what's that sound? And sort of work out where it was coming from. And a few weeks later, into my first year, I put my head on my block wall where my bed was, and I could hear it coming from Mark's room. And I could hear a bit of music in the background as well. I thought, damn, what's this? And I let him go. 2 weeks later, the same thing again. So I just knocked on his door, and I opened. I said, Marco, what are you doing? And anyway, I walked in there, and what'd he do? You see, we'd play 90 minutes of soccer. He'd probably score a few goals and do what he does. But he'd go back into his room and he'd get a soccer ball and he'd just knock it onto the wall. So whilst a lot of the other players are out having a few drinks, like Mark would sit there with his left foot and his right foot and he'd just knock it up against the wall over his bed, and I'd sit there holding conversation with him, and he'd just do it pretty much every Saturday night. You wonder why when the ball would get knocked into him, the ball would just stick. And he wouldn't even look at the ball, because the ball's in his, and he'd have his arms up and no one would get the ball off him because he didn't have to worry about his touch. And as a 15-year-old, I mean, God knows what he'd do when he was younger. And you can see why those guys have gone on to be absolute superstars and idols of the country. So anyway, that was just one story. I've got plenty, but I'm sure that's for another time. So.
Can I ask, what was the conversation like with your parents before leaving for the AIS? Because you obviously come to this realisation, you're going to be leaving your family, your friends, your schoolmates, your school. Obviously, plenty of excitement going to the AIS, but I imagine it must have been pretty nerve-wracking, a bit of anxiety about it as well.
Yeah, for sure. Mixed emotions. I got the letter in the mail. About a letter in those days, no emails. And I've still got that letter, actually. And we opened it up, and I was just like, yay, great, this is good. But then the realisation kicked in of, moving away from home. Pretty close to my parents, and... like most are, but pretty attached. And I thought, geez, this is going to be interesting, first and foremost. But secondly, coming out of the my schooling, I was fortunate. Both my brother and I were fortunate enough to be given the opportunity to go to grammar school. And, I was studying hard. Loved me soccer, but obviously studying was important. So, stepping out of that, going to an unknown, going to a government school as well in Canberra, I thought, this is going to be interesting, really interesting. But we discussed it, to be quite honest. Mum and Dad pretty much made the decision. In other words, blessed. They said, well, if you want to go, you can go. I said, I do want to go, but I sort of need your blessing. And that was it. And then 6 or 8 weeks later, I was 2 suitcases and on a flight, and off I went, pretty much. As a 15 and a half year old,
Amazing.
So where should we go next?
I was going to ask John, I mean, speaking about this last night when I gave you a quick call, during the, obviously at the AIS, still during the NSL era.
Yes.
And I believe that every time a Victorian team, whether it was Preston or whoever came up to Sydney, that you guys would actually be the opposition team for the youth side that you were playing against.
Yeah, just by absolute chance, the AIS played in the Northern National Youth League, so we didn't have a senior team as such. So the way the draw was made was when Preston played in Sydney, Parramatta, Melita Eagle days, and RPA days and what have you, we'd actually played before. So I've grown up with the club, grown up with the old man, icing Bill Pikulowski's legs, and they'd come in, generally we'd come in at half time and they'd be there kicking our stuff out of the way and getting changed. And I thought this was great. Like the other players, the Vidukes and the Skakes, oh, they're not, it's not Melbourne Knights, it's Preston, but I absolutely loved it. And I got to see Dad as well.
Yep.
Dad came up a few times. He probably doesn't remember, but I do remember it. So it was a great connection.
It was great.
That
must have been awesome.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, the young Socceroos side, you went to Youth World Championships. Have you got any stories from those international tournaments?
Some I probably couldn't share, to be honest. But, I was fortunate enough to be selected in the young Socceroos team in 95. So I went to Qatar. And that's the whole purpose of the AOS. You go in there for 2 years and you're selected based on your age bracket.
Yep.
And Ron Smith prepares those players to get selected to play the young Socceroos. So
so would every player at the AOS at that stage have been in that squad at the World
Cup? No, not really. So what happens, you go in at 15, 16 or 17, you do your 2 years, and you generally will come back out and hopefully step up into the NSL.
Yep.
And that was the pathway. And then Ron would prepare you accordingly. But Les Scheinflug was a coach at the time.
Yep.
And the late Eddie Thompson was involved. So Ron wouldn't step past that. He was at the AIS and he was selecting what he thought were probably the best 18 or so, and I don't think I was in that 18, but I was lucky enough to get the opportunity.
Yep.
And then we'd go through the qualifiers and finally, we made it to Qatar. So it was quite interesting back in those days. Qatar's a lot different now than what it is then. Mm. But we probably had one of the better... we actually had a good young Socceroos team, but we lost to Portugal, I think it was, in the... in the elimination final, we got round 16. I showed golden goal.
Yep.
So it was a bit of a topsy turvy tournament for me. Mm. I got sent off a couple of times in a couple of the warm up games in Germany, or Papendal, sorry, in Holland. Apologies, in Holland. And Les Scheinflug pulled me aside and he said, "Pretty much, pull your head in, otherwise you won't be playing." And the next game after that, I did the exact opposite. And got sent off against one of the local teams. And so I found myself actually on the bench. So it was a bit disappointing because I was sort of holding down that left-back spot. So I only got one gig against Germany, I think it was, in the third game of the group stages. So. Yeah.
Mm. So I think I saw a clip circulating the other day from that era. It seemed to be a bit of a rivalry with Portugal, and Mark Viduka was really trash talking that arrogant sort of slick haired team.
Yeah, I did see that on Twitter, and I just provided a bit of context around that. But in the we in Qatar, there was only really two or three international hotels, so we stayed with the Spanish, and the Portuguese were. They were sort of above everyone.
Mm.
And Mark had a bit of a tendency to that. He didn't say much, but he was pretty much, he'd cut to it.
Yeah.
And they weren't all that sociable. And of course, probably a bit of, we lost to him as well.
Yeah.
But every word he said was probably true. Probably true. So.
Can you remember if there were any members of that Portugal or Germany team that you played against that did go on to really make it big?
I'm sure if I went back and had a look at it, I'm sure you can follow their careers. Yep. But Dani was a player that played for Portugal, and he went on and he was a pretty cool player.
Yep.
The Argentinians had a couple of players as well in that respect, but probably not the crop that usually come out. The 93 World Cup in Portugal, and Australia made the semi-finals, and Chris Trajanovski was playing in that one. The Portuguese had Figo and a few others that come out of that one, so it was a pretty good era, that one, so... Yeah, not as many as what you would have liked, I would have thought.
Sure.
But we had a couple. We had a fair few.
Definitely.
I mean, like with Big Vidukes and Robbie Ennis and Skakes and Mark Rudin and those guys had some good careers,
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think we should probably start talking about, we've overlapped a little bit with Preston. I mean, you played with a lot of, players who were ex-Preston or went on to play for Preston during your VPL career at Thomastown, at Sydney Olympic, in the NSL as well. Tell me about some of these big characters who associated with Preston that you would have played with or against, the George Dolefskis and so on.
So a couple of years in the NSL with Melbourne Zebras and Sydney Olympic in for one season, and so I played with George with Zebras, and then funnily enough, when I played about half a season with Sydney Olympic. Back in the Collingwood Warrior days,
yep.
Those that can probably remember that, and playing against George.
Played against him.
Against George, just quite surreal. But there were some good players that I've sort of played against in that respect. But back in the VPL days, my fond memories when returning to Preston, Chris Emchowski stands out as a real leader. you know, because we had a really, really good side back in those days, probably underachieved.
Yep.
I think we picked up a championship in 2003, Chris, I think it was.
Two, yep.
2002. And 2003 was a bit of an anticlimax when we went out in a penalty shootout. And we were talking about that a couple of days ago. I can still remember my penalty. Just missed the post. And I do get a few rib ticklers from mates when we talk about it. But in terms of me, you know, I played against some really good players back in the Preston days, and Big Les in the back line with me. And we had and even Big Sash Ogdenovsky, he came in for a bit of a stint. And that was interesting. Of course, Sash is a quite intense player. And quite imposing. So I'd have Sash sitting beside me, and I'd have Chris Emcher in front. So I'd be sitting there just trying to manage that. But we had some big leaders, you know, we had some big leaders in the team, which was great.
Yep.
In that respect, yeah.
So yeah, well, I guess we'll skim through sort of that 95 to 99 period where you're with Thomastown Zebras and Melbourne Raiders and whatnot. So I think you had a season with Altona Magic there for a season.
Yeah,
as well.
I did. I wasn't quite sure what happened there. I mean that in a nice way. It's going back a bit, but I think when I left Zebras, I went across to Altona and I was working my way through the season. It was a tough year, actually. They still owe me money, actually, but I won't hold that against Altona. The ex-president Scooby lives across the road from me, but I bump into him, I might remind him of that. But in 3/4 of the way through the season, like a couple of the Preston supporters would go and watch Altona, and I said, "What are you doing?" Yeah. And it took me a while to sort of realise, and I just thought, when you say "what are you doing," I mean it in a nice way. Altona were a great club. And I enjoyed my time. There's a great bunch of players, but they were going through a tough time then, a really, really tough time. And I just thought, you know, time to get back home. And then I jumped back and went back to
2001.
Yeah, went to Preston, and the rest is history.
Yep. Well, let's talk about 2002.
Year
probably didn't start anywhere near as well as it finished. Dougie Hodgson was the coach at the start of 2002, only lasted a couple of games, and then he left. I'm not sure quite sure what the reason was for that, but... In came Vlade Tortevski, and he lasted, I think, until about round 15, 16. The boys not doing too well in the second half of the table, and then Big Josie came in for the last six or seven games and undefeated and managed to miraculously make the top five. And then what happened?
Yeah, it was an interesting season. I was pretty disappointed when Dougie left. Again, I'm not sure of why he left, but because the team really connected. An English lad, so he really got the team morale up.
Yep.
And the like, and then went through topsy-turvy season. In came the big fella, Big Jonesy, and what he does do well is he does pull rank, and whilst he probably doesn't push us as hard at training, the camaraderie sort of lifts, and you start to realise why you're playing and who you're playing with, and we managed to scrape into the finals, and Johnny Sapasovsky, he pulled us all aside and said, "Hang on a sec, we can give this a bit of a crack. Let's just go one game at a time," and we literally did that. Mm. And played at, I think we played East Altona, and then Bentley it may have been, and we found ourselves in the final at Bob Jane Stadium in front of, with Faulkner.
Yep.
It was a couple of ex-Preston players playing there, Tony Stojowski, and a good friend of mine, and
Robbie Stojewski too.
Stojewski, we had, and Joe Spatiri was playing up front.
Yep.
But anyway, we were actually walking wounded, and we had all these kids that were part, sort of, not on the fringe of the team, but they were just support players that had sort of squared up the team, and in they came, and, it was 1-1, I think it was, after extra time, after full time, and it was golden goal.
Yep, back then, golden goal.
And all I remember is, this possession in the middle, I was actually jockeying right back, and I think, geez, we're in a bit of trouble here, and because Faulkner were really bombing on, and a pass in the midfield was cut out. Could have been Chris, I'm not quite sure. And
I think it was good old Luzzle, that one.
It may have been. Luzzle will claim that, and he will remind me of that, actually, next time I see him. And Nick Kukalewski picked it up, and I just saw him steaming, and Nick's got some speed on him. And I don't know where he hit the bloody thing from. And within the rest of it's a blur.
Yep.
And I reckon I had about 20 or 30 supporters just smother me. And first thing I thought, oh, geez, me asthma. I mean, I can play a game, and I just completely smothered. After that, it was pandemonium. We got the trophy, a big banner come from the supporters, which was a nice touch. Preston to belong back in the NSL.
Yes.
Never forget that. And I've got some really good photos, myself and my dad. It's one of the ones I actually want to frame. I haven't told him that, but something I'm going to do for him, and I'm sure he's listening now, and I've got some ideas and that, but it's a crack of a frame because he had a big smile on his face, you know, and back to the club,
yep.
and that was good.
That was an awesome
That was pretty cool. We got our bus back, and the social club there was absolutely jam-packed. So it was pretty cool.
I remember it fondly.
Yeah, nice bit of symmetry, I mean, coming back to the club and so forth. But, yeah, the next year, I mean, didn't quite go as planned. I mean, the penalty shootout we already mentioned, we don't have to go over it so far. But we've got a quote from you, I think, here, saying, "We're on our way to the grand final next week, boys," before taking the penalty.
Yeah, I had a fair bit of confidence up that day. I'll be up front with you. That season was a crack of a season, and we played Frankston, and Frankston didn't get over the halfway line. You know, big less in the back with Pets Domofsky, and the three of us just felt pretty comfortable. And Putsy Swag was Swagler. He was a keeper, and he was just doing nothing at the back line. Anyway, got to the penalty shootout. We just could not score. And we got to about 4-4 and upstepped those that didn't want to take penalties. And I'm going to say it, Johnny Sapper wouldn't take a penalty. And Chris Emcher was having a bit fair old crack at him, and Sapper's like, no. And I said, well, Johnny, if you don't want to step up, mate, I'll step up. And at training, Jonesy had us taking penalties. And I like to think I had a nice left foot on me, but Webster was in goals and he's quite nippy. And I was hitting to the bottom left, which is his bottom left, which is my right.
Yep.
And I was generally doing quite well at training. I thought, you know what, I'll give it a go. I did speak to my brother that week, and my brother goes, for God's sake, don't even think about it. And, you know, he's talking. I thought, geez, should I listen to him? I thought, no, I've never listened to him. So
I'm not going to start now.
So I got called up, penalty 7, I think it was. It was 6 or 7. Yep. And I just turned around and said, boys, we're on. And this is going to happen. I'm pretty confident. And I walked up, and it was just a blur. I could hear the crowd, but I couldn't hear the crowd. I mean, that was a full house there. It was amazing. The whole back of the goal, with the creek end, or both creek ends, I suppose, but the northern end was just completely full. Mm. And I put the ball down, and I sort of had a quick look at Webster, and I had a quick look at my spot, and I thought, you know what? I'll give you a hint, mate. That's where I'm going. That's how confident I am. And I seriously, now I can still hear the ball hit the back of the signage,
yeah,
back of the fence.
Boards,
and
yeah.
I just said, you kidding me? And I just walked back, and it was just absolute silence. And I thought, oh, my dad's going to kill me. Oh, my dad's going to absolutely kill me. And I don't know what he said after the game, but I know I got a hug from my partner, then wife now. Holly, she probably gave me a hug, and it was really disappointing because we should have gone back to back that year.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Missed opportunity.
Yeah, well, look, better to walk up with confidence and be embarrassed than walk up nervous and put a tame effort, you know.
Yeah.
Straight at the goalkeeper. But, I mean, that was a pretty amazing back four you played in. I mean, Les Anastasiou, Sash Ogdenovsky, Peko Domofsky.
Yeah,
is the reason you've got some hearing issues, is that because Sash was screaming at you all the time?
No, I'd like that. No, I'd like, unfortunately, no, that's not the reason why I was born with a bit of an issue. But I didn't wear hearing aids back in those days, and so the boys got used to it. Funnily enough, I'll tell the story, and if it's got a bit of time, but a couple of times the ball would go over Peter's head, and I was like, geez, Pete, I just can't keep covering you, mate. You know, like, and I said, you just got to watch the flight of the ball, and he'd be sitting there looking at me, young Peter, and Lars would just shake his head. He was just looking at me funny and shake his head. But I thought, nah, Pets is a good kid. I'm just going to persist with him and go back over. So I said, Pete, I just can't keep covering you. And he goes, mate, I can't see. I go, what do you mean? He goes, I've had a bit of an eye issue. I'm thinking, geez, here I am. I can't hear. He can't see. It's like, hear no evil, see no evil. But you know what? Once we got through that, we're pretty good outfit. And we've gone on to be pretty, pretty close mates.
Yep.
I mean, he christened my kids, and we're pretty close. So anyway, that's another probably appropriate story I'll share. I won't share too many inappropriate ones. But getting back to it, you know, playing with Sash, pretty imposing figure. I mean, he was actually, he left and went to Faulkner. We went to Faulkner after that, and he was looking at pulling up stumps. He had sort of a bit disillusioned with soccer, and it's amazing what he did after that.
He certainly
had a pretty, pretty, pretty good career.
Yep. So. Yeah, well, we might quickly fast forward through to 2007. You were at Faulkner Whittlesea Zebras at the time.
It was Whittlesea Zebras, there. Grand final. Geez, you're going to bring this one up.
Yep, so maybe quickly, we'll quickly just describe that end of season.
Yeah, so we had a good season, Zebras. We went toe-to-toe with Preston. I personally thought we had a better team. And it was always hard playing against Preston. Got to the final. I got injured about 3 weeks out, and Peter Olton was the coach. Pete came up and said, mate, you ain't going nowhere. And I said, Pete, I'm playing. And he sort of rubbed me out the 2 nights before the final. And I'm sitting at home stressing out and talking to the old man on the phone. And Dad goes, what are you stressing out about? And I said, mate, I need to play. I said, I'll tell you what's going to happen. I said, Zion Petrescu's going to make a couple of runs to the back. He's going to peel off, and he's going to score two-headed. He's going to score with a header. That's what he does all day. And I said, I need to be there, even if I'm on one leg. Dad goes, mate, who are you playing against? Like, just if you're not right, you're not right. You sit in the stands and you shut up and watch. So I sat in the stands, and guess what? Ziggy scored two goals. We peeled off. But the fun bit about it, and I will say and I will share, I know we're running out of time, but we're end of season trip in Queensland. Mm. And just by chance, Preston on one side of Cavalier Avenue and Wellesley on the other side. But by 11 o'clock at night, I'm sitting there with Preston lads, and especially Nick Lazarescu, who's my close mate, and we'd be coming in, I won't say too much, but 6, 7 in the morning, and all of Zebra's boys are all sleeping, and, you know, I'm back sort of with my mates. And so, yeah, a bit of sentimental value there, you know, just partying with those guys. But that was an interesting season. Few regrets, but it is what it is. You know? Oh,
fantastic.
So we are running out of time, but these days coaching at Avondale, the juniors.
Yeah, I'm out that way. Young fellas, he's in the under-11s, just trying to just rub a few bad habits out of him. Unfortunately, he's picked up, well, it's probably in the genes, so he'll run through a brick wall. So I'm saying, geez, Cobes, you know, just stay on your feet, mate, and you're not going to get away.
Has he got his first red card yet?
Not yet, but I refereed a couple of games last year when I wasn't coaching. I said, geez, Dad, I go, you just need to just be careful there, mate. I go, you're going to get pulled up. But no, I've decided to help out this year. I'm a bit disillusioned with the pathway and what's actually happening. So I thought I'd just get back involved. I'm a bit of a people person, so I actually think I'll probably end up being a better coach if I was to continue. But with work, I work in construction, work long hours, you know, in a management sort of role, and I just can't commit. And that's the reason why I sort of had to push away in the last 10 years. But, yeah, coaching a young fellow and enjoying it, definitely enjoying it.
Good stuff.
Well, any chance he might turn out for the Lions one day?
I don't think Lou's job's at risk, mate. Yeah, but far from it. But, geez, I'd love to get him down there, but it's just, I mean, logistically is always hard, and I'm sure Dad would sit there going, no, bloody no, not going there. But the reality is I'm sure he'd love the young fella to go and play at Preston one day. But well, let's just see how it all plays out, you know, see how it all plays out.
Well, John, or Nashi, I should say.
Nashi.
Thank you so much for coming in and sharing those stories. It could have gone on all night, but it's been an absolute pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
Go ahead, John.
Cheers.
That's our episode of the Lions Den for this evening. Make sure you get out in force on Sunday for the home game against St. George's, or Georgie's, Sunshine Georgie's. They keep changing the name.
Caroline Springs.
Caroline Springs, George Cross. That's the game. Get down there at 3 p.m. at BT Connor, Jenna Steele Stadium. Until next time, it's bye for now.
Preston, Marketo.
Speak on the left. Tries it from 40 metres. Oh, what a goal! Hammers one from 40. What a goal from this young dynamo.
Near post, Zinni. It's in. And again, Warren Speak has a hand in it. Andrew Zinni scores the goal. Not only are the fans winning on the terraces, the team are winning on the pitch. Two goals in 2 minutes. 2-1 up, Preston Macedonia, and we've got an invasion on.
Roodhouse has made a good run from deep. Still Roodhouse getting that one across. Markovsky. That's got to be the settler, surely.
One day we'll be back. One day we'll be back.
And the shot, what a goal! Oh, my Lord, what a finish there! Absolutely brilliant stuff!
Through ball for Spink. He's in the box. Back for Cole. Cole square. Here's a chance for Smith. Smith, yes, it's there. Smith doing the damage. 1-0.